When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Memorial Day 2020. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast, here to talk about Monday Night Raw. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Matt Morgan and Raj Geary. We had an audience kind of tonight at Monday Night Raw. Matt, what did you think about having the Performance Center and NXT talent behind the plexiglass on display in the Raw audience tonight?
Much better. Much, much better. There, it feels very late, though, in the game to be doing this, if I'm being honest, though.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Matt. I thought it was way better than not having anything. There were times when it was a little rough at the start because it felt so forced. Like, you could tell they're doing exactly. It's almost like, you know, at a TV show when they're telling you to applause and boo. It kind of felt like that. But it was so much better having, you know, people having some noise, especially during the matches. And I thought that's where it came out more.
Yeah. So we'll get into it, but it was definitely different tonight. I'm just waiting. How long till someone goes into that plexiglass, like NHL style? I feel like that spot's just waiting to happen.
Probably an Edge versus Orton.
Well, that would be the time. So we opened up, of course, with the video tribute to Memorial Day, and then we were from the closed set at the Performance Center in Orlando, Florida, live on tape. Tom Phillips joined by Samoa Joe and Byron Saxton, and we started with Kevin Owens and the Kevin Owens Show. Kevin talking about the NXT developmental talents that were in the audience tonight. Tom saying that everyone there has been tested for COVID-19. Saw the plexiglass shields. And this segment, you know, Owens building it up, the triple threat with the women, Asuka hitting the ring, coming out there, chanting for Becky Lynch. Just this initial segment, what did you think of this? I mean, Natalia, just the energy and everything leading to that triple threat for the women, Matt.
It was very, very good. Well done, I thought.
Yeah. Raj?
I mean, I thought it was fine. It was good. No particularly strong feelings.
So, like, busy Memorial Day weekend? Like, were you guys out in the sun all day? Like, doing hard labor? I mean, just the enthusiasm here tonight, guys.
I don't know what you want for it. Like, again, I'll be honest. This feels like Groundhog Day, if I'm being honest. The shit with the fans in the arena feels to me 2 months late. So I'm not going to sit there and praise them for doing something that, quite frankly, I feel AEW has already beat them to the punch by 2 months.
True.
It added a little bit to tonight's matches. It did. But again, every single segment felt like I was watching the same crap, segment by segment by segment by segment. So I'm not going to be doing cartwheels out here in my truck and pretending to like and think something was awesome when it wasn't.
When's the last time you did a cartwheel, man? Huh?
Yeah.
Glenn froze up there in the middle of the cartwheel. But yeah, this show, to me, it felt every minute of 3 hours, it felt longer. And that's just been the problem with Raws lately. And nothing really standing out. Nothing really bad tonight, but nothing really great either. So I'll just keep running through the show until Glenn gets back. Pull it up here. So that was the Kevin Owens show. So one thing in the crowd, I don't know if you noticed, The Rock's daughter Simone was one of the fans that were planted in the crowd. Jessamyn Duke was there.
So that's another thing. Another thing,
Blackheart.
And that's another thing about them being in the crowd. AEW, I saw this a little bit with as well. I don't know if that's a good idea that we're talking about who the hell's in the crowd. Mm-hmm. I think it pulls away from who's wrestling in the ring. You never want to be in a situation in which you have talents that are not involved in a match pull from the stories being told in the ring. And I noticed that with AEW over the weekend with the pay-per-view, Big Swole and things like that. I think This is my opinion. It pulls away from the story being told in the ring.
Yeah, I kind of felt like they should just have unrecognizable
Yes.
developmental talent so it doesn't distract.
Throw them in lucha masks like the Dark Order. Every one of them.
Right. So we had that. That was setting up the triple threat for later tonight. Backstage, Caleb Braxton was interviewing Apollo Crews. Crews said he's confident that he's going to win the U.S. title tonight. And that took us to the next match. Apollo Crews versus Andrade, the U.S. title match for the U.S. title. Andrade almost, he's had that title for over 6 months. They went back and
Yeah.
forth. I thought they had a really good match
It
for what it
was.
was. This was one of those where I thought the crowd did help that crowd noise. You could hear
Yeah.
the crowd like dying out as the show went on. I think standing for so long and it probably tired them out. But the crowd was loud for this that they had there. And Apollo Crews hit standing moonsault and in the middle of the ring got the clean pin on Andrade and won the title. So pretty cool moment.
I'm very personally, I'm very happy for Cruz. I, again, not trying to be Debbie Downer. I feel it's very late. I think this feels very late, and this poor guy has gotten just killed, for so long. For so many weeks, you guys tell me somebody's not important, and
Years.
yeah, I was just gonna say, yeah, I was gonna say the same thing. You took the words out of my mouth. Years.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, I'm supposed to think that they're important. Usually, when someone wins a U.S. title, it's like, oh, this is the precursor to the Intercontinental and Heavyweight Championship, per se. So I have real high hopes that this talent is going to be one day maybe a world champion. I don't have that hope at all for him because it won't happen. So I don't know. I just think it's just something they decided to do. And put this on somebody different. That's the way I took it, and that sucks. I should be excited that he's the U.S. champion, and what his future now looks like. But I'm not.
Yeah, terrible Trey 89 with the $1.99 super chat. Thank you, Trey, saying so happy for Apollo. I am too. You could tell, he's a good dude, a hard worker. So it's great
Great
seeing them.
athlete,
Yeah.
great wrestler. It's not him, it's them.
And
Company.
they obviously could use this as a launching off pad and push him and build him. We've just seen so many times where it hasn't worked, but hopefully we'll keep our
Like,
fingers crossed.
okay, so what happened to Andrade? Andrade was supposed to be the next big deal.
Right.
So, I mean, come on. And Andrade has much, much less losses on TV than he does. And
Right.
look now what he's supposed to be looking like. You know what I mean? Again, neither one, I don't have high hopes either that either one, including Cruz, will be built into a main event star because they don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Justin Lopez with the $5 super chat saying it's a good bet Garza probably takes the title off him after what went down between he and KO later on in the show. I could see that. And
I
then
could see that too. Now, Garza's one I do have hopes for.
Yeah, I could see, yeah, you could tell they have high hopes. I mean, they had him beat KO tonight, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
So after the match, Apollo Crews was interviewed by Charlie Caruso. Crews was emotional, talking about
Yeah.
how he ne never gave up. He's been trying to get into WWE, and now he's here. He is 11 years after he started his pro wrestling career with his first title. So it was a cool
It is
moment
great.
that,
It was very cool moment.
The camera cut to Andrade throwing a fit backstage, and Crews celebrated to go off to the next thing. All right, so the next thing we had a Seth Rollins promo. He has the
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio mask. He's talking about what he did to Rey a couple of weeks ago when he used the corner of the steel steps to hurt Rey. Rollins was saying he was in a dark, dark place then. I wasn't getting what he's saying. Rey's sacrifice was. He was saying it was for the greater good. I don't know what that means. did you catch
Just
that?
yeah, just mumbo jumbo like old Bray Wyatt crap. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Senseless, open-ended crap. But I did like him holding the mask. I did like the clip that they showed of Ray's eye on the corner, because that was graphic.
Yeah.
That really was.
And these Raws are taped, so that now they could do it where, you know, they stop it, they go add the blood to the eye, and, you know, so it makes it look cool. So I agree. That was an effective angle.
Definitely.
And so for next week, they said a Rey Mysterio retirement ceremony will take place. I highly doubt he'll retire next week.
you don't think this is it? No?
I don't. For some reason, I don't. So that was that. Anyways, it was announced for later tonight. Austin Theory and Murphy will face Humberto Carrillo and Aleister Black. Another backstage promo with Charlotte Flair. There's a lot of Charlotte Flair tonight, but I mean, she's great, so I don't mind. And she talked about raising the bar for every other woman in WWE. No one else compares. Asuka came out dancing with her women's title. Taunted Flair, and you know, she's dancing. Flair's not impressed.
That was it. That was essentially it. But I did like this overall, because this had a big, to me, this had a bit much bigger feel for the first time in the night, for me, for my taste, between both of those talents, for what it's worth.
Yeah. You see Glenn, he's looking like he's having some okay, there we go.
Hey!
Oh, green screen. What's going
Sorry
on?
Sorry about that. There was some power outage, something like browned out with my system up here. I think it's because I hooked up like 6 fans downstairs today, and I may have tripped a circuit.
Ah. Gotcha.
So there you have it. That'll do it, apparently. But, you know, it's too cheap to get air conditioning last year, and now I'm paying the price.
Ah, that'll get you.
Yes, yes, it will. What were we talking about?
So now, well, we just did the backstage promos. We're going to the Iconics promo. There's a lot of promos on this show.
Yes.
Should we say what happened in the promo or not? Because I was going to say, I like this, actually.
But yeah, sure. Glenn, are you good to run?
I do not have the results, Raj, so you get to give your little book report about what happened on the site on the show tonight.
All right, so the Iconics are talking about the slap last week when Billy Kay slapped Peyton Royce. Billy Kay said she was sorry. They talked about signing their contracts together, winning the titles at WrestleMania together, and took shots at Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. Then Bliss and Cross came out. They talked about how the Iconics had every chance in the world to win the titles, and they blew it. And then Nikki just cut into this fiery promo about how she's worked so hard to get where she was, and her friendship with Alexa. And then the Iconics just kicked the crap out of them. And they beat them up, and that was it. It was kind of odd how cleanly they beat them up.
It was, but this is what I thought they did. I thought they tried to force too many things, because like you just described Nikki's promo. First of all, Nikki's promo was awesome. I'm not a Nikki fan. I'm not a fan. I want Alexa to be a singles act. I think she is a main event level women's division stud by herself with her promos and her wrestling and everything. I hate her in the tag team. Therefore, poor Nikki always gets my heat every week, because I hate the fact she's in this tag team with her. She's holding her back. Mm. With that all said, Nikki ballparked her promo tonight. She absolutely did. But that's just it, though. It felt like they were taking like 3 different things in this one shot, in this one segment, and trying to fit, if you will, 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag. Between the Iconics and just rolling past what just happened last week and just saying, hey, just kidding. We're good. And then the tag team of, what'd you call it? Blexacross, whatever the hell they call it.
What's
it called?
Twisted Bliss or Bliss Cross Applesauce.
There you go. Do you know
Matt's
what I mean?
Favorite tag team name.
It's the worst.
Glenn, there's no picture of you now right now.
Oh, sorry, because I was in the background.
He's still fixing
calling
it.
Up the results to figure out where we were.
Oh, gotcha.
It's all good. So do you know what I mean, though? It felt like they were trying to fit like 3 different things in this one segment. I'm happy the Iconics are still a tag team. I think it would be a terrible mistake to break them up. And I like them getting heat on them tonight. I'm a huge fan of them as a tag team.
Yeah. I do think that promo is overused a lot right now. That, oh, I worked so hard to get where I am, and I wasn't supposed to be here. But she did knock it out of the park. She did an awesome job. And I think when they do, if they ever do, this could be a Sasha Bailey thing where it never happens. But if they do the split, right. Alexa's the heel, Nikki's the babyface. And I think she showed tonight that she can be a good babyface. And Alexa,
yes,
we know, can be a great heel.
And that is okay. It's nothing against Nick. I think Nikki would be perfectly set up as a underneath baby face against the main event level, you know, women's talent and Lex. And I think it would be a great match. It would be a great angle even.
Yeah.
It really would. But get the damn belt off them already and get them on the Iconics. Yeah. I want that to happen.
And Toxic Prince pointing out this was the best the Iconics have been. I agree. They look like, yes, they look like, I mean, they have always looked like stars and presented themselves like stars. Definitely. But I thought they looked really good here too.
What was written for them finally matched them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that?
Right.
Well, and it was really about them. It wasn't them being out there just being a comedy act, doing their bad impressions of the other women. And I think, you know, this says something to be said, Matt. We complain sometimes when we don't see the performers we like, but I think having them go away for a while and come back with more personal story.
There. Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I think they were really a comedy act at the end before their break. And I think this will benefit them greatly.
Yeah, did That's you guys true. See this? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, go ahead.
So Alexa Bliss, where she was trending on Twitter today because a podcaster, basically someone sent this video, this podcaster ripping on Alexa. I think it was done a couple months ago, but they just sent this tweet out with that video. And it caused a big uproar on Twitter. Braun Strowman responded to it. Alexa responded to it. Paige, Sonya
Deville. What did he say?
So here, let me pull it all up right now. So basically, he was saying that Alexa is really bland in the ring, and then he was saying, like, could you imagine having sex with Alexa? She looks like she would just be someone that just takes it, and then because she's just as bland as she wrestles. So Alexa responded, normally I ignore his ignorance because all he wants is to be recognized by bashing me, but excuse freaking me, sir. How dare you discredit my work in such a disgraceful way? Paige wrote that that's the problem right there. He's one of the problems. Cyberbullying is not okay, and to this extent too. What a disgrace, and I'm assuming he's supposed to be a reporter of some sort. Shame on you, JD. Your work is incredible, Alexa. Pay no mind to ignorance like this. Sonya Deville said, I pray I run into this dude one day. And Braun Strowman said, this sad-ass Mark talking like he even knows what it's like to share a bed with a woman. He should probably stick to talking about wrestling because he doesn't know shit about it either, but at least he can pretend he does. Oh, and eating Hot Pockets his mom makes him. Trash. So yeah, JD from New York was the podcaster, so...
good. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what Chris is talking about. I just said Alexa's a main event level singles act by herself, and I can't wait for her to go back there. So I don't know what Chris is talking about, unless he's being facetious, of course.
I think he is. Yeah.
But good. WWE, a lot of times you're not allowed to get out of that bubble and go in on people to defend yourself from time to time. So I'm glad they're able to do that a little bit here, especially in today's day and age, instead of just sitting there and having to take it like that, because you're a professional and that's what happens when you're in the spotlight. You have to take people saying these things. No, you don't. No, you don't have to just sit there and take it. Right. You can't fight that. You know, good on all them for stepping in like that, because that's going to put off bullies like that. Instead of bullies continue to think they can just get away with that because they're tough guys behind a keyboard. And they think they just keep bullying people that will sit there and take it because, oh, they're celebrities. They have to. No, they don't. Good for them getting in on them. Whoever this person JD is that I've never heard of, JD, by the way.
It is interesting seeing how it's evolved, right? I mean, even on this podcast and the way people talk about women's wrestling, think about women's wrestling 20 years ago. Like, that was at the peak of sexualizing women wrestlers, first and foremost. Any in-ring ability they were allowed to showcase was secondary. Now, I mean... it never comes up. I think we don't even talk about it unless it's a part of somebody's gimmick like Mandy or something like that. I mean, first and foremost, these are performers and athletes.
Go back to I was telling you guys, I think last show, Glenn, I was watching 2002 era Raw. Just listen to Lawler. Anytime there's a women's match, I'm going, how are they even able to play this anymore? I'm being so serious. I'm not being like a wuss or a wimp or whatever you want to call it. go back and watch it. Listen to his commentary. You'd be like, holy crap. I encourage anyone to go on that and listen to it. You'll see what I'm saying. How far they, whatever you want to call it, have come. Uh-huh. And, but good Lord, you're not just saying this to blow smoke anywhere. The women's division, the best division, period. It's not even debatable anymore.
Yeah. And even gimmick wise, I mean, our running debate about was Rick Rude hot? You know, was Rick Rude hot? Well, that was his gimmick. And we debate, was he actually attractive or not? Right. Or was that just what he was projecting?
Kind of same thing.
That was a little weird tonight with that comment. Like a match is like making love to a woman. It was like, what? Where did this come from?
Like, it made me uncomfortable to watch wrestling.
And I did think it was weird timing given the JD controversy today. It did seem like a really unfortunate coincidence they chose to drop that tonight.
Is this another thing that like I'm really out of touch with? Like, what his JD person is? Is he somebody like important or famous?
Another wrestling podcaster. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I think in this community, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say he does have his supporters, Baby Maharaja, saying his comments were taken out of context. This cancel,
there you go.
Cancel culture is out of hand. He's not being canceled. If anything, you know, I think he's probably benefiting from this. I think he's gonna get a lot more viewers to his podcast. It's kind of one of those by Alexa responding to it. It kind of gave him a lot more attention in a weird way.
And that's the other thing that I used to be told, way different level. But when I was with TNA and I was a heel, mm-hmm. I used to use it to go in on fans to make them legit hate me so they would boo me more, honestly. And the company would be like, oh, you don't have to respond to everything. You give them so much power by responding to them. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's that side of the argument too in what you just said. But by the same token, I think if somebody's legit bullying somebody, you got to pop bullies in the mouth every once in a while. You got to chin check them every once in a while.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see she did.
Yeah.
I do think, though, Matt, to your point, I do think it gives them attention. I mean, we all know there are other quote unquote wrestling journalists that have made their whatever fame they have and whatever following they've had off of being kind of notoriously hated. So I don't know. I mean, look, I think if you can turn the other cheek and ignore something, always, like you said, Matt, it's like if you're giving someone attention, you're almost elevating them to your level and giving them your platform to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about this stuff with Hana Kimura this past weekend. You know, this social media, at some point, there's going to need to be some sort of, sort of restriction. Not anyone should just go on anonymously and be able to post. And granted, this is a different case with the podcaster, but you see a lot of negative stuff out there. And Justin Cortinez.
Sorry.
He is asking, were wrestling fans always this bad as far as negative criticism or even before social media? This is everywhere. It's not just wrestling. You go on, you know, Twitter for anything, you're going to see
go to politics.
Right. Well, yeah, you think wrestling's bad.
Goodness.
Even, you just look at the stuff from even a show like Game of Thrones and just how much people were just trashing that show, even though it was doing their biggest ratings of all time. It's everywhere. It's just everyone has a voice now on social media and you could hide behind it and you could create a persona and just say stuff to get attention.
I wish there was some type of voice. Everybody should have a freedom of speech. I'll always, right. Even if it's stuff I don't want to hear, okay?
Right.
Even if it's something that could hurt my feelings or something I completely disagree with, I still think people should have a freedom of speech. With that said, there needs to be accountability, like you just said, in my opinion, where you can't just make up like 20 dummy accounts. Right. Just start stacking. Yeah, I agree with him. Yeah, I agree with him. Yeah, I agree with him. Like going up and down the list of something he just said or she said that was just terrible. Right. And there's always dummy accounts that aren't real. Because then it sways, like, say, a younger viewer who doesn't know any better and goes, well, I was just going to stick up for this person, but I better shut up because they have 20 comments here saying all the same thing. But they're not real account. You know what I mean? So there needs to be where anytime you use your phone or computer, whatever IP address you're using, that is you. And you can't get out of it. You can't get away from it.
And also, if they just had it where anyone can send in their driver's license, verify that they're who they are, you get a verified check mark. And when you go to Twitter, one of your things can be to turn off non-verified tweets. And then that way you don't get all the randoms out there, you know, who are sending mean stuff or, you know, just trolling.
I have that on my page.
Yeah, I do too. Matt Raj isn't verified. That's why he doesn't know about it.
So if you're not verified, you can't do. Okay, I'm slow. Okay, I didn't even know that. Sorry.
Nice. you guys with your blue check group.
No, not you. I mean, in general, I didn't know people that didn't have that and couldn't do that.
That's common folk with the no checks.
But if I do that, if I repress that option, I feel like I wouldn't have a chance to, you know, listen to our fans of the show and other stuff. Or my residents here in the city, for instance. There's no way I'd be able to contact.
And that's where I'm saying if you had it just so anyone could become verified, that proves who they are. So at least you got, you know, you're not hiding behind a character. You are who you say you are. That would help, I think.
I agree.
One of my favorite parts of Twitter, honestly, is the fans that are on this show and seeing what they're saying on things a lot of the time, because I do feel like I'm getting old and a little out of touch with wrestling to a degree. And our fans on this show, I feel kind of like, let me know if I'm, you know what I mean, that out of touch or not.
Yeah. Our fans are the best. I mean, seriously, even after the other night, guys, I don't know if you got, I mean, I got so many messages after the night when we're talking about mental health issues and things of that nature. I mean, it's like this community, that's what I pay attention to on Twitter first and foremost. It's
we have a different community. I'm not just saying this. I really feel we do. Well, ours is positive. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It just is. Ours is.
Oh, it's great. Seriously. My favorite people online are the people that are a part of this community with this podcast.
Yep.
100%. So what was next, Rush?
So that was the iconic stuff. Are you caught up? Are you there?
If I look at the results, it's going to freeze me to do that.
Oh. So next we had MVP interviewing Drew McIntyre for the VIP lounge. Drew right away came out and destroyed the set. He was asking where Bobby Lashley was. MVP says Lashley won't be taking Drew out tonight or doing anything. They're saving it for Backlash. Yep. And MVP asked Drew if he remembered how he was trying to help him out. And Drew repaid him with a Claymore. And then Lashley's music hit. Drew dropped MVP with a Claymore kick as Lashley approached the ring. And then they came and Lashley grabbed MVP, took him up the ramp, and that was kind of the end of the segment.
This was awesome. MVP was awesome on the stick on this, making Bobby feel like a much bigger deal with the whole, what was his line? It was like basically Bobby's too important to be out there right now. It made him feel like, I'm just being honest, it made Bobby feel like a bigger star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was something like no pay, no touchy. I don't know, something like that. it was some back and forth that was really, really good.
Yeah.
I like Drew saying you could just call it a Claymore. Claymore kick is redundant. I thought that was was a nice touch. Drew is funnier than I think most people pick up on. He's a really sharp guy.
Yeah, and he is, and they're doing all the right things with him. They're never making him look weak or stupid or, you know, get outsmarted by the heel. And they're doing it right. The only thing that's hurting them is not having the audience to make it seem that much bigger. And, you know, that's out of their hands. But they've been doing a great job with them, and he's been doing awesome.
Can I ask a question really quick? Why is it taking WWE this long to put these fans in the arena?
Maybe they don't want to seem like they were copying. Maybe they were worried about safety.
Get over it. They could have increased your show. Because they could have done this earlier.
Okay, here's the theory.
And they were doing the 24/7 segments with like 20 guys, you know, out there. So I don't think it's the safety. I think they didn't want to copy AEW, and they wanted to show that they know how to do this kind of wrestling.
There are so many talents that rely on that back and forth from the fans, Baron Corbin being one of them. And I think he did some great work, and it's gotten completely ignored, hasn't meant anything. And I think someone like him has suffered immensely not having even 20 fans in there. And mm-hmm. other talents even, not just him, that rely on the back and forth from the fans. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? So they could – my whole thing was, okay – when I saw it, I was like, you sons of guns, you could have been doing this the whole time. Why have you not? Please tell me it's not because of your arrogance, because AEW did it. Ooh, we can't copy. Come on.
I think, and this is just pure speculation, I think Vince didn't, like, this is Vince admitting we're not going to have actual fans for a while. I don't think he wanted to go to plan B because he thought this was going to be a lot shorter.
Okay.
I could take that
a little. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, because, I mean, if he thought fans were going to come back any week now. Like, why?
But he still could have had him in the stand. I mean, it's you've been seeing the ratings dropping so much, especially this month.
That's probably part of it, too. I'm sure this was an argument. I'm sure years from now, when there's a documentary about this period, I'm sure we'll hear, but I'm sure this was a heated argument backstage.
And for what it's worth, I had an event this morning here in my city about for Memorial Day, all right? And gave a speech and everything at one of our military cemeteries we have in our city with some of our veterans there present, right? And I was talking to them, to a bunch of them, and they were talking about wrestling with me. And I asked them, have you guys watched it lately? And they're like, oh, no. One of them was like, you know, I was clicking through the channels. I did stop by, you know, to see what I've been missing, you know? And they were giving me their opinion. Like, these are some, like, older, you know, older gentlemen, seniors. And even they were chiming in on the fact that there's no fans and how weird it feels, how different it felt. And, again, these are just people clicking through channels. So, like, when you see the ratings are down, it's like even, like, the morbid curiosity of what's happening isn't enough for people to stop on the channel because they think it's ridiculous. And I'm really surprised by that.
Let me put this idea out there, Matt. I think Vince also thinks he needs to normalize the idea of people in attendance. Because, again, what if they do that first show back and ticket sales are slow, bordering on non-existent? I think they need to ease people back into the idea that it's okay to go attend a wrestling event. And this is kind of a mental trick to do that in a weird way.
I hope so, because I do want to see fans back in there. I do.
Sure.
Yeah. And it's... We're seeing things opening back up all over the place.
Oh,
so if things stay safe.
And please, before I continue, I hope I don't offend anybody from a certain sporting or sports website here when I go off track here for 2 seconds to ask an important question. But I do want to ask this. NBA, I saw online, is doing a 16-team playoff thing. Is that completely no fans, Raj?
Right now, that is the plan is to start, yeah, with no fans. And baseball, too.
And when? Do we know the dates, by chance?
I thought baseball was going to be... really. They're still negotiating with the players how the payments are going to work, because so much of baseball's revenue is from the live attendance.
What about
more so
NBA,
than
though?
Other sports. NBA, wow. I'm not sure. I'm not sure when. But because they're seeing...
Baseball
like...
gets more fans? Baseball gets more fans in the arena.
Well, they're more reliant on that because they play so many more games. You know, it's they're more reliant on that live attendance because the TV revenue that NBA gets for so many fewer games. You know, it makes a big difference.
It's crazy. They make so much money on TV.
Yeah, and you're seeing with sports right now that match, the golf match with Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against
Phil Mickelson. That was awesome. I watched that.
It was awesome. And Tom Brady, it did a 5.8 rating. It was the highest rated golf game in the history of cable. It was gigantic. So people are clamoring to watch sports. Just wrestling hasn't been presenting, what they want to see with wrestling.
Yeah.
Real quick with Lana and Lashley, they did another backstage thing with MVP. Talking to her, and I was just pointing out like how awesome Lana was with Rusev. What a great character she was when she was doing the whole Russian thing. Because
yes,
I think people are criticizing Lana a lot, but you forget she was really good in that role.
And this, excellent in that role.
Yeah, and so they've given her this crappy role, and I don't know anyone who could be pulling this off right now.
No, and P.S. My husband's no longer with the company, and right. I'm here. Sure, you should you be, could you be professional enough to try to see Pat? I wouldn't. I'm just being honest. That was my wife that's in a different company now and left the company. I'd be doing anything in my head possible to get the hell out of Dodge and follow him along. Do you know what I mean? Like Cody and Mrs. Cody, Cody's wife.
Yeah,
do you remember? Brandy. She ended. Yeah, Brandy ended up leaving not too soon after Cody did.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough spot to be in. I'm just speaking from a wrestler's perspective of where I would be mentally and just kind of, I don't want to say phoning it in, but not, you know what I mean? While getting crappy writing handed to me on top of it. Because
right.
That is crappy writing they give her.
Yeah. Antoine Fair saying he never liked that they put Lana with Lashley, and I really don't like what they are turning into the mad jealous wife, but glad that it led to MVP and Lashley. Great fit, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I agree, because it looked like they were going to put... Remember they were putting MVP with Brendan Vink and Shane Thorne?
Yes.
And so this is way better than that. And I don't even know where the Vink and Thorn have been. They just completely disappeared.
I would put, didn't we say we thought they could put one more person with him? What was it? Was it Ricochet or somebody?
We've mentioned Ricochet talent. And Cedric in the past.
Yes.
Apollo.
I would take that. Yeah, Apollo would be, but unfortunately, they're, you know, their faces.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, unless they turned him heel. And real quick about the NBA. Here we go. Yes, July 14th, a 6-game regular season. Then they'll do the playoffs until September. Then 5 days after the finals is the draft.
They're doing 16 teams, 16 seeds of teams, to my understanding.
Okay.
As well. That's awesome. I'm excited. I cannot wait because I need LeBron to win a championship again. And he was on track to do it, my opinion.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I wasn't really a basketball fan, but watching that Last Dance documentary has got me into it. Justin Lopez asking if they think they'll keep the glass even when real fans are allowed to attend events again. So yeah, this week they had the whole arena covered, you know, surrounded by plexiglass to separate the quote unquote fans and the wrestlers.
I think that's why. I think Glenn hits on it a little bit earlier here, actually. No, seriously, that with Vince trying to put out the vibe, if you will, or the first thread, if you will, of getting fans back at the shows with tonight's, you know, having all the NXT talent out there. I mean, no offense, they really didn't need the plexiglass to.
Yeah, they're all. You know what I mean?
I feel like they're doing that because that's what it's going to be like when fans come back into that venue, and then from there, I don't know if they start touring and stuff. I don't know what it would be like. Is that hard to set up in every arena? I don't know.
I don't see them going back to live events anytime soon. I think it's just going to be the touring the TVs because they were losing money on live events already.
TVs, that's what I mean for TV.
Yeah. Well, I can see them doing that.
And I believe based on the reports I saw, that actually is an NHL barricade setup that they got in there tonight. So arenas have.
Was it blurry anywhere? Like did it look kind of.
I know it's a little bit of reflection, or maybe they could have cleaned the glass so it was a little clearer, but it wasn't as distracting as I thought it would be. And in fact, Raj and I were talking about this off the air with the crowd. The fact that they became ambience at a certain point and it wasn't distracting. I mean, to me, I guess that's the purpose, right? Is it just sounded like normal.
Yes. You can't let it be distracting. Like I was telling Raj earlier when your thing went out, Glenn, when he was like, oh, you know, Simone John, The Rock Johnson's daughter was on and stuff. I don't want to know who's in attendance. It distracts from the matches.
I agree with that. Shotzi, like seeing like some name talents there was a little.
And I think it hurts their potential as well as big time stars.
Yeah, like Jessamyn Duke, if they're gonna pull the trigger on her in the near future, she shouldn't be, you know, rampside crowd hype person. That being said, while they do have complete control over the crowd, I was thinking this with the Seth promos and the Monday Night Messiah, they can do some crazy shit now, like where Seth could hypnotize the crowd and the crowd's cheering Seth even though he's a heel because he's got. I mean, they could really use this to their advantage and tell some more interesting stories now that they have Vince's dream. They can literally tell the crowd how to react to everything and make them part of the scripted environment.
This is Vince's dream, by the way. As far as yes, that really is.
I would say
he literally told me that word for word. I tell them what to think.
Yeah.
He told me.
So take advantage of it.
I could see them having, like, you know, I mentioned this earlier to Matt, having at a TV show, you know, a regular, like a comedy show where they tell you when to laugh and when to, you know, boo and when to gasp. I could see them doing that in this crowd. But anyway, yeah.
So,
back to the show. We had Charlie backstage with Natalya. Natalya took a phone call from Tyson Kidd. Either Tyson Kidd talks really fast or she wasn't really talking to him because she would say something, then immediately say her next line. But anyway, she's apologizing for the hissy fits that she threw and got off the phone, was ready to cut her promo, but then she was told by Charlie that she has to go to the ring for her match. Or no, they had to go to the ring for the next match. They were out of time. And we had the next match, Kevin Owens versus Angel Garza. Garza getting the win here. This was Kevin Owens' first singles match since his big win at WrestleMania. So clearly they've got something in line for Garza. I don't know if this is a start with his feud with Owens or if they go with him and Apollo Crews, but Angel Garza, Owens was injured early on. He had hurt his foot, and so he was selling that throughout the match. He can never quite get his setting. Owens hit a big chop to the chest, went for the pop-up powerbomb, but his knee went out. Garza took advantage with the wing clipper for the pin to get the win.
This was great. I love KO, but this was great use. If you're going to have KO lose to somebody and help get somebody else over, this definitely did it. I was really excited about this, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This win felt like it meant something to me. It didn't feel like Groundhog Day.
This was one of the few wins that felt like it elevated somebody, which you're not seeing that much of right now.
No.
And they had been beating Angel Garza and Austin Theory for weeks and Andrade with that group that they had. So, I think they got Angel Garza back on track, and I think he played it well. Glenn?
I was surprised Kevin Owens lost. So in that sense, I think it was unpredictable, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. Now, hopefully this isn't the downward trend, which we see a lot of times, where
who knows
they start beating somebody, they keep beating them, and they're just never back, you know.
I mean, didn't we talk about this 1 week? Like, Zelina Vega is awesome, but are you excited about her stable? She's the main reason I watch her talent.
I was excited there was a stable just for the sheer fact we'd get more promos from her.
Sure.
That's it. Not about her talent at all. The talent's in her stable.
Yeah.
Well, now it's just Andrade and Angel Garza. And I wonder if they'll do something where Angel Garza starts feuding with Apollo and Andrade's upset.
Oh, maybe. That
Angel's getting the nod and, you know.
All the attention.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So next, that was the Lana approached MVP and Bobby Lashley backstage. She's giving MVP some ice, and he's asking her if this is a joke to her, like everything else is to her, including her husband's career. MVP walks off, and then Lashley walks off, and then Lana starts screaming and throwing the fit.
When he said her husband's career, was he referring to Lashley or?
Lashley. Lashley and kayfabe, they're married.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just double checking.
Yeah. Unless they meant to have a double entendre there, but I'm pretty sure they meant that. Okay. Antoine Ferris saying, I'm 35, I've been watching wrestling since I was 7. What the F does, your knee went out, LO, buckle, yes, out, huh? What?
Antoine, do not pay more money to clarify your question.
Right. Raj is like, ask many follow-up questions and attach dollars to each of them.
Yeah. Just, Antoine, you write all the time. You contribute to the show so darn much. Just clarify what you mean. If you're asking, what does your knee buckling? It happens a lot in sports, and it is a real thing. It happened to me in basketball a zillion times, where your knee literally gives out on you, and it's a legit thing where in wrestling, you could say it buckled for that one snap, half a second, but yet you're not getting surgery. It's not a torn ACL. It doesn't put you on the injured reserve list for a week where they have to write Kevin Owens out of a storyline, for instance. Do you know what I mean? It's a good explanation to get out of something real quick and blame it on your body failing you really quickly without being out of action the next week.
There's a common
sitcom thing. It's like a rolled ankle.
Right. It was always a sitcom thing, like they're gonna be, oh, my knee, my trick knee. That was always the excuse to get out of things.
Trick knee.
And with wrestling, we've seen people buried alive in a graveyard just a couple months ago, and they were packed fine. So
so many fans I remember saying, "How's AJ gonna come back? He's dead. he's in the grave. He was in the grave. We saw it.
We're such marks." All of us, we care about this shit way more than WWE does.
Oh yeah, and I only bring it up in jest, but you know, I'm used to it. Austin Theory and Murphy versus Aleister Black and Humberto Carrillo. So another one. I thought the action in this was really good.
The action was.
Yeah, Carrillo towards the end of the match, he knocked Murphy off the apron to the floor. When he turned around, he was hit with the ATL from Theory, who got the pin and the win. So Austin Theory and Murphy were your winners. Go ahead.
Go ahead and finish if you were going to say something about it.
So there were a couple of spots in this match where Austin Theory would accidentally hit Murphy. So I was like, oh my God, are they already splitting these guys up from the Monday Night Messiah? But they weren't. After the match, Rollins came in the ring to raise their hands, and then they went to attack Carrillo outside of the ring, and they were going to do that same eye spot with Mysterio, and Black was coming out to save him, and Rollins said, you know, if you come out, we're going to do it. And so he didn't. And that was it. Yeah, the Rollins, Theory, and Murphy headed to the back.
I'm still not feeling Theory. I'm just not. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think he needs to. He looks a little bland right now. Maybe changing his gear up, or I don't know, something. But I see what you mean.
And they wasted misdirections with the tease of them screwing up and hitting one another too many times. It makes them look like Keystone Cops and not an effective team. Yeah. And you usually do that because you're starting to tell the story, and the first layer of that story of the misdirections, miscommunication, and the eventual breakup. Way too early for that.
And
you
if you're
waste it. You don't waste it unless that's where you're going.
I've stepped on it, Matt. Sorry. Just going to say, if you're worried about misdirections, it sounded like you kept saying missed erections. And I was like, just don't say it. And then finally I was over the top, but the moment's gone now. I screwed it up myself.
Well,
misdirections.
Bob, the builder of the $2 super chat. Thank you. He says, love the podcast. You never read my super chat, guys. Just make sure to kind of keep it to what we're talking about at that moment.
Giving money for the super chat to say you never read my super chat. Yeah. Raj, here's $20. Here's $5 to complain that you didn't say anything about my $20.
And listen, chat room, I never see your chats, just for what it's worth. I don't even know how to do it.
Oh, no, so I learned this because I'm on my phone, Matt. You see at the bottom of your screen the thing that says audio, video, cam, mic, chat, and leave?
Yeah.
Click the chat button. You can see all the live comments. There's private chat and live chat.
No, it took me off. Why'd you make me do that?
No, we still see you. It just put it over.
You can see me?
The X. Yes. Oh. You just click the X at the top. See? See where it says private chat, live comments, and then there's next?
There was nothing in there.
Oh, well, because you click private chat. Click live comments.
Okay.
It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's like, a lot of people watch this podcast.
Can you still see me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, you guys, this is dangerous. Ted Zagaro wrote annoying Bob. Oh, this is awesome. You guys can still see me?
Yeah, we can see you. Now all the...
Oh, my God, I love this.
All these comments coming in for Matt.
We get lots of comments. Holy crap.
Yeah, there's hundreds and hundreds.
Is it always like this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is awesome. Corey Springer, what's up? This is very distracting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why I, you know, try to keep the ones that are on the segment we're talking about, because there are a lot. And we appreciate you guys, and thanks. It always makes it a lot of fun with you guys on.
Absolutely.
Here.
I see you, Bob the Builder. Sorry. Go ahead.
You're like Miss Nancy in Romper Room. You're just like an ICU Bob the Builder, and ICU Alonzo.
Tim Nichols. Sorry. I'll shut up.
All right, we had a backstage promo with Edge. Edge was talking about how he was watching The Undertaker's Last Ride series, and while he's still retired, he's, you know, talking about bringing up, you know, having to know when it's time to hang up the boots, and how Taker gets it with Taker, he gets it now. He said if Orton wants to doubt his wrestling ability, he's went toe to toe with greats like Taker, Shawn Michaels, Christian, Rey Mysterio, Davey Boy Smith, William Regal, and Owen. He mentioned Owen Hart too, which I cannot remember the last time I've heard Owen Hart mentioned on WWE TV. And then he, you know, talked more about his abilities. He says he doesn't know if he can do those things at anymore, but at Backlash, he's going to dig to the very depths of his soul to try, because that's all a man can do. So Edge versus Orton, they're officially billing it as the greatest wrestling match ever. I mean, that's the tagline on the graphic. It's the greatest wrestling match ever. So, yeah.
Oh my God.
You guys thoughts on Edge's promo? Glenn, I'll go to you first. Now Matt's just reading the comments.
Dude, this is impossible.
This I know. Is impossible. This is what I do every show, Matt. This is what I'm dealing with every show.
This is all, dude, we got some really funny fans, by the way.
Yes, and I'm aware my head looks like a potato. This different camera angle and lighting and lens is freaking me out, man. Like, I didn't realize my head was this big. I got to question some things. Change my hairstyle. I don't like when they overhype something so much because it's just going to be a letdown. I feel like this is almost trolling the audience, saying it's going to be the greatest wrestling match ever.
And putting so much pressure on them. There's no way to live up to that, P.S. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's exactly a problem. Like, when you're saying it's going to be the greatest, even if they have a really good match, even if they have a great match, it's going to be a failure because everyone's expecting so much more.
I just want to know how this was sold to Vince. I really do. And we tell them it's going to be the greatest wrestling match ever. And everyone in the room, you know, everyone in the room is just waiting. And there was just silence for like 30 seconds, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? And then they started one by one saying, yeah, that's a great idea. This is a terrible idea. Terrible. They don't need gimmicks. It's freaking Edge. It's Edge and Randy Orton, no less.
Right.
You don't need gimmicks with them. But yeah. It's not a gimmick, Matt. It's the greatest wrestling match ever inside the ring. Okay. We don't need it. Okay. That's like me. I don't even know what I'd compare that to. Just the most generic thing possible and then trying to showcase that genericness, whatever that something is. Do you know what I mean?
Right. You know, Matt, Wednesday night, me, you, and Justin LeBar, okay. we're gonna have the greatest podcast ever this Wednesday.
That's all the pressure you're putting on us. And two, it's like me saying, I've got the greatest suit ever. And I just show up in a black suit. Like, what the freak? I see everybody.
Some might argue a black suit wear is the greatest suit ever.
Blacks. Matt, I've seen every politician known to man wear that same suit you're wearing right now. I don't see what's so special. And you'd be right.
Yeah. Darla Gajka saying, we all know Warrior versus Hogan at Halloween Havoc was the greatest wrestling match ever. if for those who didn't see it, it's one of those notoriously bad matches where everything that could go wrong did. Orton and Edge would be better than AJ Taker from Mania 25 and then every Okada versus Omega match.
Can I just say something that popped me? Really, really quick. Benny Lindley wrote, stop crying, Tony. Sorry, continue. Dude, these people are funny. I'm sorry.
All right. Up next, we had the number one contenders triple threat match. Nia Jax versus Natalya versus Charlotte Flair. And they gave them a good amount of time. And they did some, I mean, they did a lot of stuff in this match. At one point, Charlotte Flair and Natalya did a powerbomb to Nia Jax on the table on the outside. The finish of the match saw Charlotte Flair applied the figure four on Natalya. Nia Jax broke it up with the leg drop and then hit the Samoan drop on Natalya for the win and to earn the title shot. So she is going to be facing Asuka now for the Raw Women's Championship at Backlash.
Okay, I'm telling you, I know you guys are going to think I'm nuts. I still think Natalya should have won this because now they're booked themselves in a corner. Their monster is going into a pay-per-view that she's not going to win, right? Am I crazy for thinking that they're not dumb enough to take the title already off of Asuka this quickly? Or was this just to gas everything up, make Asuka look bigger than life for a minute or two to get it back to Nia and make her championship reign mean something? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Asuka has to win here. I mean, they could do a DQ or something lame to keep it going, but you're not going to take the title off to Asuka. So I agree with you. Having her with someone that she can beat for now and then build to that, because that's her biggest opponent right now on Raw, right?
Yes, I would just give her a win. I mean, I don't care who it's against. I think you have a chance to really build Asuka that she's the most legit looking one all the time, right? Because she's such a badass. But I still think you continue to build her and just have her roll people, just continue to steamroll people. And now you've got just where she belongs, which is at the top of the damn division. And she's deserved to be there this entire damn time. Even the tag team that she was in, I still felt that, right? We all did.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Charlotte she should not have been, she should not be wrestling Asuka. She should not be losing yet either. And plus, she's the NXT Women's Champion. I think it's a bad look if you have the Raw Women's Champion beat the NXT Women's Champion right now. I think as a SummerSlam match, yes. But not this soon. I think it's too soon for Charlotte versus Asuka.
Oh, damn. Okay, so I just realized how quickly you lose the Super Chats.
Yes.
Can I press one or no?
Yeah, no, sure.
I don't think Matt has...
you're not able to.
Read Steve Maraccioli's Chili's. It's part of what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's up right now. Charlotte or Asuka versus Tessa. Sorry. Which match is bigger down the line?
Geez Louise, that is a good question. Tessa versus Charlotte, I feel.
Yeah.
It depends how they use her.
Second generation, but dude, come on, it writes itself. Second generation.
Oh, yeah. Horseman daughter versus horseman daughter.
I mean, isn't Tessa technically third generation, by the way? Am I wrong with that? Didn't Tully's. No, okay, well, either way. A kid of a famous wrestler versus kid of a famous wrestler. Right. Who they themselves are freaking just top of the damn business right now. Both Tessa and Charlotte are. I'd kill to see that match, and I'd pay money to see it. But same with Asuka versus them, Tessa as well. But just Charlotte.
Yeah.
More. I think it's going to be Asuka versus Shayna at SummerSlam. But yeah, there's no way. I mean, look, Asuka was on commentary. She wasn't even in this match tonight, and I think she was one of the best parts of this match tonight. This was fantastic.
So really that's quick, what Terrible Trey was asking. Asuka versus Shayna at SummerSlam or Shane versus Asuka? Ooh, Shane versus Asuka. That'd be good,
too. That's a good – it would be. And it would be a good win for Asuka as well. Like I said earlier, get some more steamroll wins in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quick short match, somewhat short match to continue to make her look like a beast and unbeatable again. Because, again, Asuka, when she was undefeated, was one of the best things to watch in all of wrestling, in my opinion, when she was with NXT.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Glenn. Antoine, real quick, saying that they're not stupid enough to take the belt off Asuka yet.
Yeah.
And I agree. Shayna, I don't know. I'm getting that feeling like they've kind of given up on her.
Soured on her. Yeah.
Yeah.
And really quick, Isaiah Harrod says Tamina does monster female better than anyone in WWE. I agree with him on that. I do think Tamina does the monster gimmick better than anybody in that company at the moment for the female division.
Really? Yeah. You think better than Nia?
I do. I absolutely do. Because Nia, in between stuff on her facial expression, she's still getting there. She's still not there yet. She's getting there. Tamina is just, I just think, more believable in her body language and her expressions on her face.
In fact, I would go as far as to say since Alicia Fox left, Tamina is now the most underrated woman on the WWE roster.
Dude, she's a stud. And she comes off the top rope. Are you kidding me? That kills your knees, by the way. She's such a good athlete. And has a hell of a sabat kick.
All right, let's move on. So Nia Jax won that. Asuka raises the title at ringside as Nia Jax stared her down. Next, we had a backstage promo with Drew McIntyre, and he said, he was on his. He didn't plan to claim more MVP earlier, but MVP asked for it. And then she asked Drew if he knew about tonight's tag team match as MVP and Lashley versus Street Profits. Drew says that he suddenly forgot something in the locker room and says he probably won't find it until that tag match is over. The Street Profits had another challenge with the Viking Raiders. This time it was golf. And the Street Profits won, so they're 2-1 right now in the challenges. Do you guys think these adding comedy to the Viking Raiders, has it changed your impression of them at all over the past couple months, or are they same level? Has it enhanced them? What do you guys think?
Viking Warrior, are you really asking me this question?
I should just ask Glenn.
I'm sorry, they're the shit. It's the shits, the drizzling shits.
I'll do my whisper gimmick with my handheld mic. The Viking Raiders were always a comedy act. The WWE just finally acknowledged it.
Yeah, so this isn't the Road Warriors versus the Midnight Express as far as the build goes. They look like buddies having fun, but, that's your program down the road. Yeah, these segments aren't – they're not horrible either. They're just
I don't know. I'm torn. I'm torn on it because if it wasn't the Street Profits, I think I would be I mean, it's good the Street Profits wrestled tonight, but where's Bianca Belair? Like, I feel like they're just kind of doing weird or wasted things with their best talent right now.
Yeah, she's been working main event, so I don't know if they're just trying to get her some more experience or what. But yeah, she's been off for a month now, off of Raw.
We talk about that Liv Morgan promo.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet. Okay. There's so many promos on the show. The next one, they had Rob Gronkowski with a promo, who's, this was first the R-Truth promo. Gronk came later. R-Truth said it wasn't Tom Brady that has the 24/7 championship, it's Gronk. And anyways, Gronk later replied he had his hat on. He was more serious than he usually is, but he replied to R-Truth and said he's ready for any fight and he will see Truth coming because he has eyes on the back of his head, and then he put, you know, sunglasses on the back of his head. Great. Thoughts on Gronk?
These are my thoughts on Gronk. It's such a waste of money. I mean, I get the reason to try to get some mainstream attention. I get that. I still don't like having to be forced to watch the crap. I'm sorry. Just being honest.
Yeah. And they really didn't get much mainstream attention with Gronk this year.
No.
It seems like that might have been something to just cancel out and wait. But
what was the line? Our truth, more like our lies. I mean,
oh, yeah.
This was, what do you think's better, Gronk as a wrestler or Shaquille O'Neal as a rapper?
Shaquille O'Neal as a rapper.
Yeah. Song with Fushi was pretty good.
Yes, it was, actually.
He Gronk got better. Is terrible. It's funny because Gronk is always one of those guys where anyone would be like, oh, he'd be great for pro wrestling. But if you watch pro wrestling, you realize he's too goofy for it. Like, it's just too annoying. And it's not something you would take it seriously as a heel, and as a babyface, it's too irritating to work. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Then we had man, I love Ric Flair, but they had a pre-recorded video from Ric Flair who's saying, yeah, the greatest match of all time is coming up, Edge versus Randy Orton. Flair said since he hung up his boots and stopped riding in limousines and jets, Orton is the greatest wrestler to do it. So I guess he's calling Orton the greatest wrestler of all time since him.
Which he should be doing, though, when you think about it, because he was in his faction with him. He was supposed to be, the lump of coal that they make into a diamond, right? That he squeezed into a diamond one day. It makes sense for him to say things like that to fit within the context of, you know what I mean? He's always talked about Randy like that.
Yeah, I mean, for him to say that he thinks Randy's going to win, he's one of the most talented guys he's seen, I think that's one thing, but to say he's the greatest after him, it just seemed a little too much of a stretch. And we actually have a new interview with Ric Flair on Wrestling Inc. And I spoke to Rick on Friday about his new WWE contract. He just signed a new deal with them a couple weeks ago. And yeah, he was talking about this, yeah. You know, the greatest wrestlers of all time right now. He was saying The Rock, Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan. But anyway, so, you know, a way to plug the match and using some real star star power with Flair.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
So then we had a preview of The Last Ride. After that, we had the Liv Morgan promo. And she was asking, she's just started talking about her biggest stumbling block, saying it was her own self-worth. She talked about not knowing growing up, she never felt good enough. She remembers being 6 years old and wondering what life had in store for her, because for a while she felt like she was just floating around. She finally found what she was missing when she found WWE and got her first piece of wrestling gear with her name on it. She might not know all the answers because life keeps changing the questions, but she does know she's alive and she will fulfill who she's always been destined to be and living her best life.
Raj really felt that promo. That's why he remembers it so well. Raj, can you just reenact the promo for us here on the podcast?
No. I was about to. I'm like, I'm going to annoy some people if I do.
I know I'm a fan of hers. I don't know that these promos are, I don't feel like there's a lot of direction to them.
living the best, whatever it was, living the best, what me? What was the end of that?
Something
living your best life, living your best life or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's so rehearsed. Like, that's too much writing they're giving her. I want to see this girl cut these promos that everyone says, and you see glimpses of it when they leave her to her own devices every once in a while. She has these glimpses. And I just think this is where super duper rehearsed and way too scripted promos hurts these talents. Because to my understanding, she's very creative.
Yeah, and she's shown that she has the potential to be a superstar. And I think she's, I wonder if these are going to hurt her a little bit. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe, because I thought the first couple that she did were good, but it's starting to get, it's just random. She's just randomly talking about, you know, it's not like she's asked in an interview about her childhood or something like that. And then she goes into these answers. So I don't know. It's just awkward. Oh,
there we go, Raj. Someone in the chat, Joey Adorjan, is saying you should do the live promo, but in your Randy Savage voice.
I saw that. People have been asking me about the biggest stumbling block of my career. It's always been my own self-worth.
Yes. Can I just say, folks watching this on YouTube, just scroll back 5 seconds before Roz goes into that promo, and you'll see the light bulb come on. Do I do it? Do I not? He committed. You're pot committed to that, Roz. Good job. That was good.
But it's not. It's not the content. So, like Tammy was saying, it sounds like she's going through a quarter life crisis. I think. Even the way you just said that, Raj, I think you could say that with conviction. The words she said were not the problem, but the fact that I don't want a character, male or female, that sounds like they're sort of not passionate. You know what I mean? About what they're talking about. Who's not motivated? Who's not driven? I think that you could sell any words and make somebody believe it if you have conviction behind it. And this just sounded a little too middle of the road.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely sounds scripted and she's, you know, she's reading it. But, yeah. I think they were doing such a good job with her just beating people in the ring.
Yeah. And, let her wrestle. She can wrestle.
Yeah. So finally, we had the main event, Street Profits versus MVP and Bobby Lashley. This was another one, though. Like, the action was good at the end. Ford had covered MVP, but Lashley ran in, broke up the pin, and put the full Nelson on him. And then he was just destroying Ford, wouldn't break at the referee's count, so they were disqualified. So the Street Profits win by DQ. Then afterwards, there was a big brawl with Lashley and Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre came out, hit a Glasgow kiss, headbutt. They brawled back and forth. Finally, the referee asked the wrestlers in the crowd to come help out. So you had a couple guys come in. Lashley, you know, Drew took him out, but then Lashley hit a spear. But then they kept fighting. Then they got some more, wrestlers in, and they tried breaking it up. And they just kept going at it. And Drew was actually getting the better of it pretty much most of the time. So
this was awesome,
Drew. Yeah,
this was awesome with the use of the NXT talents, though. That's what I like the most. This was great. This is old school OVW when they would just start sending this. Except you wouldn't be able to see the. Actually, yeah, they used to put school. Or wrestling school talents in the crowd sometimes. And you just keep having them feed.
Doing all right?
I'm in the middle of doing a show right now.
Okay.
good Lord.
Is that your neighbor or your wife?
Yeah, that's my neighbor. Give me 1 second, guys.
Okay. Word around the block. Matt's in his car an awful lot. What's going on at the home?
He seems really sad, but he's laughing to himself.
Very odd. Oh, good Lord. I got to get my situations up. It's weird doing it in this setup tonight. I'm looking at this and I'm just like, I see the chat. I'm like, this angle, this is so different. This is so strange. Got to figure out what went wrong. I liked it too. I thought it was good use of the crowd, and they should be more inventive with how they use the crowd. I think this is a step in the right direction. They could actually do some stuff they never could have done with a live audience by having this kind of control.
Yeah, Antoine Fair bringing up how they brought the really big guys at the end. Yeah, that is true. The first guys that they brought in were smaller that got destroyed, and then the bigger guys at the end. Wayne Montgomery, yes, the rumor is that Matt Riddle is getting called up. So Matt Riddle, he's wrestling Timothy Thatcher on NXT, and that might be it for him, and then he's going to the main roster. So
good, about damn time.
Would you put him on Raw or SmackDown?
Does it matter? I mean, it does, actually. I take that back. SmackDown. AJ's going SmackDown, right? It feels like SmackDown has better wrestling, for what my opinion.
Yeah.
Shorter show means he'll have more. I don't know. I think he'll be fine wherever he goes. He's freaking awesome in that ring. He's so damn original, too, with how he works. His style is so damn different.
Right. So yeah, that'll be cool. Drew Gulak, he was gone from WWE a week and a half ago. His contract had expired, they didn't renew, but apparently they came to some agreement because now Drew Gulak's back with the company. They re-added his profile to the SmackDown roster page, so Drew Gulak's back.
Oh, great! That's great news. I'm happy to hear that for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I didn't know that.
I wonder if the AEW thing was a bit of a bargaining chip.
He was being represented by Barry Bloom, and and so I could
big time age. That's the agent to get.
Didn't Bloom used to represent like Hulk Hogan, and he used to represent all these guys in WCW, like Goldberg and
Mick Foley. Mick Foley gave me his number to call when I was with TNA to renegotiate something when I was debating going back to WWE or sticking with TNA. And me going, well, you know, TNA's been so loyal to me, I'll just stick here. Dumb decision. Yeah, dude, that's the guy to get. That's awesome. He's got him. He's working with him.
Yeah, so maybe WWE is annoyed dealing with Bloom, and we're just like, forget it. And dude, then,
he is the – I cannot say that enough. He only worked with, like, top talent, like main event level talent. Like, the fact that I was even working with him, I was like, oh, wow. Like, he's way above my level. So the fact that he's working with, no offense to what's his name here, that's awesome.
Right. Well, that's a big deal. Yeah.
Well, how many years do we know? 3 years?
No. But the standard has been 3 years, three to five. Before the pandemic, it was five. I wouldn't think that they're doing five right now.
It doesn't matter. They can kill the contract at any time if they want to.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it always is. Yeah. They announced a retirement ceremony for Rey Mysterio next week. But then they, you know, after Raw on Twitter, they said that Seth Rollins is going to be hosting it. So clearly a storyline, you know, we mentioned it earlier. Really doubtful that Mysterio is going to retire next week on Raw.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. I mean, I think that's, I don't know if they'll do it at Backlash or after that, but. That's where they're headed.
I mean,
Go ahead.
Tonight on Fox, Maryland caught aggressively giving himself.
Talking to himself in a dim lit car. His
comments. No, that's my neighbor Jeff. Shut up. And in his defense, this probably looks crazy. He's going to take me out here doing my podcast.
That's funny. Well, that was it. That was the show, and I think it's not the most newsworthy. We one other thing. Matt Jackson suffered a rib injury.
Oh,
so he broke one of his ribs. Dynamite last week. So and he still worked that stadium match.
With it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Guys, that's painful as hell. It kills your breathing. I remember Joe had this happen, and it hurt him a lot when he was with TNA. It really holds you back. You can't breathe. It sucks. It's not as like wimpy sounding or whatever you guys think of a rib injury would sound like. I don't know what you guys would think of it generally, but I know I used to be like, oh, rib injury. It sucks and takes sometimes forever to heal because you keep trying to work on it while you have that injury. And you risk screwing it up more, and hurting other ribs. It sucks.
Yeah.
Oh man, I hope he's able to come through this one quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's about it. We got NXT coming up this week. No pay-per-views this weekend, so a little bit of a break, but yeah.
Hey, I watched NXT again. I watched it like two more times.
Wow.
So that says something, in my opinion, about that pay-per-view.
Oh, you mean AEW?
AEW. What did I say?
NXT.
God, jeez Louise. Again. Yeah.
We're getting old.
AEW pay-per-view. I watched it two more times, though, seriously, especially at the ladder match, because I kind of, you know what I mean? I don't think I was paying attention to it as much as I probably should have done the first time, the first go-around on it. There's a lot of different things I think I missed.
Yeah, I think with the Stadium Stampede, I rewatched that match.
Yes.
And it was a lot better the second time. I think the first time because I'm also tweeting and taking notes and didn't know what to expect. And then after kind of knowing and going back and watching it, I thought it was a lot better the second time.
Yeah, that's weird. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
No, I think there's something to that because it's that it works for and against it, prisoner of the moment, right? I mean, it's like you're in it, you're looking at Twitter, you're thinking about it all. I don't know. Yeah. I found that some matches I've enjoyed more away from the hype around.
Get everybody.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. What just happened?
Matt said he couldn't hear me.
Oh. And he's. Glenn,
Matt
Rage
quit the podcast. No, I'm sure he'll be back in a second, but we should wrap it up. Is he back?
Yeah.
Matt, can you hear me? I hear Matt.
Hey, Matt, can you hear us? Oh, okay. I can hear you.
Well, on behalf of Matt Morgan, Raj Geary, and myself, we'll be back here Wednesday night to talk about AEW Dynamite, NXT on USA. And Raj, you're going to have to end this, but until then, stay safe, stay healthy, stay sane, and we'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.